It's 7:02. I'm going to call the meeting to order, City of University Heights City Council meeting. Tonight is December 9th, 2025. And the first order of business is the public hearing. So I'm call the public hearing to order on proposal to enter into a general obligation corporate purpose loan agreement. Now, I don't see anyone in the audience. Do you have anybody on Zoom?
No.
Have you received any correspondence?
Not any correspondence. I had one person ask me about it and I told them what it was, but that's it. So, and they said, okay, that makes sense. They didn't need to come.
Okay. With that, 7:03, I close the public hearing. And then all five council are present tonight. And we have approval of minutes. They were circulated by Mike with his report. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, the minutes are approved by unanimous consent. So we'll go on to the regular meeting. Then do we have any public input from any of the public? You don't have anybody there either. Okay. Okay. So then we'll go on to mayor's report. And in my report is the resolution that we were talking about with the public hearing, 2538 resolution, taking additional action on proposal to enter into a GO corporate purpose loan agreement and to borrow money in a principal amount not to exceed $4.370 million to fund certain infrastructure improvements. Now, Troy and I and Steve Cool attended a meeting with Maggie and John Danos and crew, and you wrote it in your report. This first part is the first step to borrowing the money in January of about $1.5 million. And we're just going to borrow as we need it with the projects, not to borrow it ahead. So we'll put a motion on the table. Is there a motion for 2538?
So moved.
Motion by Nick. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Tim. Okay, discussion. Okay, roll call vote.
Dwyer.
Aye.
Herbold.
Aye.
Moore.
Aye.
Schroeder.
Aye.
Swales.
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0.
If I may, Mayor.
Thank you.
Mayor.
And the city of
Louise.
Oh.
If I may, there's a document that needs to be executed as soon as possible. So tomorrow on this to go back to finance, just so everyone's aware.
Yeah.
Thank you, Troy. The legal report, and you know, it's rare that Steve Ballard isn't here, but you know, he's in a jury trial. And in his report, the only thing I wanted to point out was the last thing, the open meeting training applies only to newly elected officials and appointed public officials. And so that applies to McKenzie, none of us. And it doesn't apply to any of the appointments on any of the boards or commissions right now, unless we have some new people. And then you have to have that done within 90 days after taking office. I just wanted to point that out because it's different than last month. And so we'll go on to city administrator. Oh, you know what? I got to go back to mayor's report before we do yours, because I did have a couple of things. If any resident wants to serve on a commission or a board, please contact me this month into January. And that would be nice. And then the other thing is, I heard.
Louise, from, can I ask you a question on that?
Yeah.
How many do we anticipate being on the tree board then?
Well, that's going to be discussed with Troy, but
okay.
He's recommending 3.
Are we losing 1 or 2?
We are losing 2. Lisa Haverkamp's term of appointment has expired or has run its course. And then Dave also stepped away.
Yeah, he resigned.
Appointment because it conflicted with other things that he has going on?
Yeah, that's a good question. And so I'm, yeah. But
could possibly zero, possibly two.
You still have value adultery.
The other thing was I talked to Steve Cool, and you know, he'll start attending the January meetings, and him and John have been working together on budget things and getting things settled here at the end of the year. And he said, as we do in the past, any budget numbers that you receive, I want you to forward them to Troy. So Troy has them. And then, you know, we do that in November, December. And I know we've gotten some budget numbers just emailed to staff, but we'll continue with that. And then Steve will come at the January 13th meeting, Steve Cool. And then he gives his calendar every year. And he says, we need to have an extra 5-10 minute meeting here. And, you know, he sets it up according to the state rule so that we get all done by the date that we're supposed to get it done, like the end of April. And so he just wanted to remind everybody of that. And then he also said, you know, the transfer of funds, that resolution that's under finance is just normal city business that the city needs to take care of every 6 months. You have to have a resolution to transfer funds according to the state legislature. So that's what Steve said. So thanks, everybody. If there's no questions, we'll go to the city administration report. Troy.
Thank you.
Your small little 4-page report.
Part of that's format. I will leave much of it to you all to read, and I will answer any questions that you have, whether it be tonight or later. But I did want to touch on several items. This is the last month until next season that you'll see the Iowa football item on there, but it's going to be replaced by winter weather items. Specifically, I want to talk about a couple items that have already surfaced. For those of you who have noticed or have been contacted by community members that the sand and salt barrels have not been out, our city contractor had some equipment issues, a breakage of the equipment that he uses to place those barrels. They were delivered and positioned this afternoon, so they are now out there. The other one I wanted to highlight is we did receive a citizen complaint specifically about the bus stop on Sunset immediately south of Melrose. It is not a covered stop. It's just a pad. It was not cleared after the first 9 inches of snow, and she contacted the city about that. I have had conversation with both the Iowa City Transit Director and now the city manager, Jeff Froon. It was not cleared after the subsequent 6 inches of snow. They forwarded me maps that show that by their records, that's never been cleared by them. They only clear throughout the Iowa City metro area. They only clear places where there is some sort of shelter. So they're not, they say they are not responsible for clearing that. Right now, the police department has done their best to at least clear a path for safe passage for that one on Sunset Street, unless there's some major objection. It is used enough by the residents and the people here. I intend to have a conversation with our snow contractor and see if it would be difficult for him, if it would add anything, or if he could just do it in passing, if he could hit that particular.
Have you talked to Mark?
I have not. I just learned this.
When I did talk to Mark a little bit, and he said, if you tell me to do it, I'll do it.
Perfect. I just had the final conversation.
You know, I didn't know exactly
tonight or this set. So I will talk
to Mark. Contact him.
Okay. So that'll be done. The rest of them we've not received any complaints about. They don't have the same usage. And we'll have to address those on a case-by-case basis if we do it first. But I wanted council to be aware of that. I'm then going to skip down to the OUP South and North HOAs. There hasn't been a lot of action on the OUP South, but OUP North did have there's been a couple board meetings and their general membership meeting. One, I wanted to thank Nick for coming. He volunteered to come and update the residents on the proposed Swisher Track Trail system, and that was generally well received, and we got some good comments on that. But I wanted to point out that the HOA dues increase for the north building was 6% or approximately 6%. And I would expect there to be some similar increase for this building, which includes, I mean, that's a city cost that we're going to have to pay as a tenant. And then additionally, the HOA board selected a fiber cement wood grain siding project to product to replace the wood siding that's been deteriorating despite being restained repeatedly. That resulted in approximately a $240,000 cost that included some contingency items to the north building, which is being divided up by square footage and paid for as a special assessment. Again, I would anticipate that there'll be something similar for the south building, and I only bring that up because I know we're in budget time, and I think that it's important to at least keep that on the radar. Skipping down to Swisher Track Trails development, I just wanted to say I did have a conversation with Josh yesterday, actually, follow up on the phased redesign or final plan from Bolton and Mink. He said that has been completed. He's just been busy this week, but we potentially will meet and go over that next week. So that continues to move forward. On down to item 7, the tree board. I wanted to specifically call out and thank Lisa Haverkamp. She has served 5 years on the board and is now stepping away from the board. She is the outgoing chair of the tree board. I was remiss in not also mentioning Dave Conrads. He stepped away midterm. That leaves two positions that under current structure need to be filled. That's the way that it was drafted and written up when the tree board was formed. I've had discussion. This was brought forth by a tree board member that because it's been difficult at times to do business, given that they're supposed to have 5 members and not everybody's been there, that they've stepped away, or Lisa even pointed out that there's been extended periods of time where somebody hasn't shown up. There was some discussion about potentially lowering the required membership from 5 to 3 or making it some sort of number in between 3 to 5. I spoke with the mayor about this to see why it was originally set at 5. The mayor informed me that there was discussion from 3 members to 5 members back when it was formed. And at that time, the decision was just made to go with 5. I also spoke with City Attorney Ballard. I wanted to make sure that by going to 5 members, we weren't inadvertently creating headaches as far as open meeting laws, because now if 2 members happen to be chatting over the fence type thing, it would actually be a majority of the board. Steve was not concerned about that for a variety of reasons. It is an advisory board, not a working board, not a policymaking board, not a board that has a budget. So none of those were deal breakers as far as reducing the membership. Additionally, the board recently has been meeting once a month. I do not anticipate that they will continue to do that, but that is a pretty big commitment for a volunteer member of the board out of the community. You have a very engaged board right now with Bonnie, Pamela, and Curtis. In discussing it with them, there's no strong feeling about which way to go one way or another as far as membership. As the mayor pointed out, the new laws at state require that new appointees also attend the training that she previously mentioned. So for all those reasons, I would suggest to the council that they consider reducing membership on that board from 5 to 3, or that there's some discussion about, again, I don't know if it's even possible to say membership is anywhere from 3 to 5. So that way, if there's 3 people on it, or if there's 4 people on it, maybe 3 of them are voting members. I don't know. But I just, the board is strictly an advisory board, and it's a very engaged board. I would hate to see people appointed just to fill chairs and not realize the commitment that currently the board is asking. They are currently in process to try to regain Tree City USA certification, which requires setting up an Arbor Day event. We talked about some options to doing that, potentially even pairing with Sidekick to make that happen. I see the board as facilitating those types of community efforts, if you will, whether it be the Swisher track or like we have a cleanup day and council takes part of that. If they organize a let's get out and grub out work type thing, but they're not the people to go out and do the work so much as they would be the ones that helped organize that, plan the dates and things like that. And I think that they are fully capable to do it with three people on this fully engaged board. I don't think that it's necessary to have five, but certainly that was up to council. And when the board was formed, I think in 2014, the desire at that time was to have five. So I did not want Steve to do a lot of work on drafting a change to the ordinance if there wasn't any interest or if there was interest in remaining the same. So I would welcome a brief discussion by council in some direction.
Guess it, yeah, it'd be nice to give them some flexibility. It's nice to have those advisory boards to get people involved, you know, more people involved with the community, I think, and the city government. So I hate to reduce it if there might be people who want to be interested, but maybe make the rules, you know, a little more lax so that if only three show up, they're not prevented from doing business. I would have to read the ordinance, I guess, myself to understand what the impediment is to them doing business with
and
three.
And I was concerned about participation also. The board is, the meetings are published on the calendar. They're posted here as far as the meetings. They are open meetings. So regardless of how many are on the board, there's nothing that prevents somebody who's interested in that topic in general or something that is specific from being talked about on the board to come and participate in the discussion. It just eliminates the requirement that five people are here. It doesn't matter if three people were here, five people were here, 10 people were here. It's the board membership that we're talking about. That makes sense.
Got you. What were they running into in terms of a problem to do business? Was it a quorum issue? Or
yes, it was. And we were able to do business the time that it was an issue. And you would still potentially run into that. But Lisa said that there was a time in her recollection, it was before I was in this position, that one of the board members, she said it was the majority of a year that person just didn't come to the meetings. It was not either there were conflicts going on or it was not triaged enough, depending on what else was going on in this person's life. Again, I will freely admit some of this comes from my bias and my career. I, in my 30 plus years, have sat on boards and committees that there's 60 people in attendance. And there's a lot of talk. And in the end, it's a core group of people that gets things done. And I see that core group right now. If there were other people that I knew of, and when I spoke with the mayor, I did not ask her who she had in mind, but she said she did have at least one other person in mind when I spoke with her. A lot.
I always have somebody in mind. I say yes.
I know you. And the other thing that the board mentioned is in each of the remaining, actually all four of the board members that were there, I don't think they fully appreciated or knew exactly what the board was and was not. They were, oh, we got the tree board, I'd be happy to serve on that. And I think there was a misunderstanding by some that it was more than an advisory board or didn't appreciate that they were meeting 12 times a year right now. And that's totally up to them as far as how many times they meet in their organization and their chair. Ordinance very clearly spells out they're an advisory board there to update the tree plan. So the comprehensive plan each year, which includes the list of acceptable trees. And just because it's on the list as an acceptable tree doesn't mean it's acceptable everywhere. For instance, if there's overhead wires, even though it's on the list, it might not be acceptable to plant there. Or if there's tiling and storm sewer underneath that, you might be limited. So they have a list of trees to draw from, but that doesn't mean that as a resident you can say I want this tree. So it's that comprehensive plan. It's to be proactive in suggestions and things to council. So for example, Tree City USA getting that recertification and doing Arbor Day. Do you want us to do that? And I said, you know, yes, I would like you to do that. We already meet three of the four requirements. Let's meet the fourth and get it done. And then it's to be reactive, that same be an advisory board, but council could come to them and say, you know what, we are considering the same thing, whether we should do this or not. Can you do the research and look into this? Can you be our staff for it? So both advisory roles, but one's reactive and one's proactive. They can't think of them. And there's a fourth one. The final one is to review any requests from residents as far as tree plantings in public spaces, the right of ways, whether it be plantings or tree removals. In practice, council has done much of that, or the mayor has probably done the bulk of it. But by ordinance, that is one of the functions they have. When they only met once a year at times or sporadically, it was difficult for them to fill that function, which is why somebody needed to do it and the mayor did it. So they want to be meaningful, but they are an advisory board. It's very clear from the ordinance they are an advisory board.
Yeah. Now, I think that's a good group of three. I'm in support of you looking into, personally, I would say if you want to talk to Steve about how to make it operate better, and if that's reducing the number, that could be a possibility, or if it's just making the rules, you know, a little like the quorum issue or, you know, whatever the issue is to update that.
Okay.
And you suggested shortening the term?
Correct. Right now, one of the barriers, I believe, and in talking to them is because there's five members, the terms are 5 years. So you are committing to this as a resident for 5 years, which you all are elected for two. You know, I think that is a huge, huge ask for 5 years. And is it four meetings a year, or is it five, or is it 12 meetings a year? If we reduce the number, or even if we didn't reduce the number, if we reduce that term, I think it might be easier to draw in people who were interested.
I think that makes sense. Yeah. 5 years.
I can see that, but I also tell people on any of them, you can resign at any time for any reason,
right,
or no reason, because they'll say that on zoning. They'll say that on Board of Adjustment. And I said, and I'll tell them that. So I'm just going to put that out there that I do. And people have taken me up on it, like, you know, right away. So in one case, but, you know,
yeah. And Dave was great on the tree board. Dave was great.
But the tree board itself think it's a good idea.
They're the ones that brought it to my attention. We discussed it. They think there's benefit in both ways.
Okay.
More members, basically more participation, as Nick pointed out.
Well,
but
that's okay.
They want to be able to do business and be,
yeah,
be cohesive, if you will. And for those unaware, I attend all the tree board meetings now, and I'm there mostly in a support role, but to say, yes, this is allowed or this isn't, or basically to be that funnel between council and here's what council would like to make happen. And I think that also will help streamline the process and keep things focused on, again, we are an advisory board. We think this is a good idea. What do you think? Yeah, run with this. Unless there's an objection, I'll move it on and have Steve draft, and I'll talk to Steve about how flexible we can be in assigning numbers. You know, again, maybe it's stated 3 to 5, and then depending on how many people are currently signed, I don't know, but I can figure that out. I just didn't want to do a lot of groundwork on it if there was no interest in council to do it. Okay. And then I'd like to, as long as we're talking about boards, I do need to talk. This has been on my radar for a while, but I haven't talked to Steve until recently on it. The Citizens Advisory Board that's mandated by Ordinance 235, the Community Police Relations Ordinance. I think probably all of you are aware that the state of Iowa changed the law that prohibits police citizens review boards. Now, because of our size, we actually weren't captured in that. So we're not a civil service community. So we didn't have to disband our board, but we are out of step with the state as far as, we're the only ones left with one. We're out of step with the state as far as current practice. I think that potentially actually weakens the rest of the ordinance, which I think is a strong ordinance. I still am proud of the ordinance. I think that it was groundbreaking. But if we have an ordinance that we passed and it's not in line with what state law says now, as far as boards in general, again, not specifically ours, I think that it also makes the rest of the ordinance kind of seemed like it was legacy and it was passed and it's no longer timely or current. The time has moved on and it hasn't. So I would suggest eliminating not the ordinance itself, but eliminating the part that talks specifically about the creation of the Citizens Police Review Board and then some of the associated reporting standards. I'd like to specifically, I mean, the ordinance still specifically, the substantive portions that remain very specifically prohibit bias-based policing. Well, that's prohibited anyway, but I think that it's good that the community itself says we're not going to tolerate that. It still would require the data collection by the police as far as it's a software program that accompanies the traffic stops. So as officers are making stops, that information is gathered so that if there ever was a complaint that moved on to some sort of legal action against the city, we would still have all of the data to go back and analyze and show, this is either or not. Anyway, here's the big picture, not a single stop. And then the ordinance also mandates annual training, actually two trainings for all officers on issues, and this is straight out of the ordinance, issues related to the prohibition of profiling and disparate treatment, including implicit bias training. The police department does that. Actually, all of law enforcement area-wide does that. But I think that it is good for us to maintain that part of our ordinance. You all or the previous council all put a lot of work and thought and discussion into making this happen. I just think it is a stronger ordinance if it actually is in compliance with the state than it is if it looks like it was passed years ago and state and law and thought has moved on and we've just never revisited. So I talked to Steve about it, but I did not have him do any work on it pending discussion or direction from council. I think Nick, you were part of that. So Nick and the mayor were all part of that original discussion. Were you? Okay. It's just before I got 2018, if I remember right.
I guess if Steve has some concern, I would say have him, report back to council about what the concern is and if there's a recommendation. I don't otherwise have a lot of strong feelings in terms of spending time on it, but I hear your concerns.
And I did not attach it, but I have a redlined version of the ordinance that, again, it only strips out the parts that the state stripped out of it, and it leaves the rest of it unchanged. But I can have further conversation with Stephen. Then moving on, the last thing I wanted to, actually two other things, resolution 2538, but I interrupted the mayor and already said there is paperwork that there's a document that needs to be executed. So that's already been discussed and Mike will take care of that. Medical insurance, we were notified that our costs and premiums are increasing by 31.18% in 2026. I don't know, but we discussed it last year. I just threw it in there. Most of you may recall that last year premiums decreased by 51.93%. So if Steve Cool was here, he said in the past that it's just a constant state of adjustment. I reviewed some of the things that might have impacted it, in the previous 12 months, not the current 12 months, in the previous 12 months, there were no claims that exceeded $10,000. Where in this past 12 months, there have been three of them, everything from, Sergeant Tucker rolling his ankle and requiring a visit at the hospital to some, that was a duty-related one, but to some off-duty and personal events by other officers that fell under the insurance coverage. So those things and just corrections in the, market's not the right word, but result in that 31% increase this year. I cut out part of the notice of renewal rates so that you could see it, but single coverage goes from roughly $575 a month to $755 a month, and family coverage from $1,438 a month to $1,886. But again, a 31.18% increase. There were some other plans that Christie that rely on, we looked at. I think that it's, I've said this in the past, I think that it's important that we maintain our coverage. Chris will cover it in his report. I'm sure the chief will. But Sergeant Tucker has stepped away from the department. He relinquished his, well, he stepped away from full-time, which means he's no longer a sergeant and he's no longer on the department as a full-time officer. He's agreed to stay on as a part-time officer as needed. Again, that will help us with staffing potentially in the future, but even more so, it will help the chief make that transition to a new sergeant. But I bring that up because we're currently one short on full-time staff, and you know, we've done good work on trying to be more competitive in salary, especially given our size, but we're surrounded by other agencies that pay better. They frankly do. And I don't think we want to diminish our benefits, including insurance, at any time, but that's part of the reason why we've been successful over the last 6 years in recruiting and retaining officers. So again, unless council objects, after reviewing it, we have the paperwork to renew our insurance coverage also. Any discussion on that? Okay, and not hearing any, I will go ahead and have Mike take care of that for me. And if there aren't any questions, Mayor, that's all that I feel compelled to touch on.
I just had a few questions on the OUP North meeting. I didn't know if you wanted to share more about some of the feedback.
Sure.
Because one of the reasons I spoke at the meeting was they look out onto where the concrete path would be. And I had heard some concerns that the concrete would be too close to their back decks. And so, you know, that's obviously a very expensive part of the trail is this concrete. So it seemed to make sense, you know, I think the concrete is an amenity, is thought of as an amenity for the people in OUP North, especially. So, you know, it didn't seem to make sense to push that in a sense on them if they didn't want it. And so that was what I really wanted to try to understand, is what they thought of that concrete trail. And not necessarily getting rid of the concrete trail, just it could go just on, I think there was one drawing from, I think Iowa City maybe at some point, I don't know if you created the drawing that just has the concrete go out and back, just one, you know, section instead of doing the loop.
Sure.
And I think the sense was they were okay with it after the discussion, but I wasn't fully sure if you got more feedback on that.
There were, I guess, to put it under an umbrella, privacy concerns were probably the majority of the pre-meeting concerns or the comments that I've heard. One university place, that condominium, their property ends just beyond their sidewalk behind there. However, Board of Regents allowed them to put in a prairie and maintain the prairie behind there. And right now, if you go back there, it's difficult to walk around that prairie. It just gets overgrown later in the year. But earlier in the year, there is a mowed walking path around it. And I think that in discussion, I think that many of the residents thought that little trail, that little kind of beehive shape, was going to be where the paved trail was going to go. And Nick brought, I think Iowa City's presentation or some of their presentation, and showed that the trail, actually the proposed concrete trail, the ADA trail, goes out from one corner of the property to the other corner of the property, and it goes approximately twice as far north as that prairie does. So it's not in what they think of as their backyard. It's farther out there. And even then, there isn't any consensus. There are mixed feelings, and I think that's good. I mean, some people still think of it as their backyard and still have some concerns, but no overwhelming concerns. Others are very vocal in saying, this is fantastic. Former counselor, you know, Casey was saying, I think if you're doing this, you should invest more money in it right up front, and you should put more ADA trails in and pay to have a bridge put in over there so that, you know, we can follow one of the terrain lines around. And I mean, he very much liked that aspect of it. So I think it generated good discussion. One of the slides that Nick showed has a potential alternate instead of this U shape that goes out. It starts here at the west end, goes out to a circle out beyond the prairie out at the end of it to the overlook. And then you would come back on that same trail. Some people favored that. I would say most of them, there wasn't any consensus, but a lot of the concerns were relieved. They're still talking about it, but I didn't hear anybody say, no, absolutely not. I heard just the opposite. I think this is a good idea. I would prefer it was this. I would prefer it was that. It was brought up about the need for parking. The slides that Nick brought, at least some of them that were displayed, had the option of four stall parking kind of to the north and west of the building down there. Would be two handicap stalls and two other stalls. That actually generated more comments than any of it. People either didn't want the parking, or they wanted it to be handicap only, or, you know, this is a private space. Now, granted, there's commercial properties here and residential properties, but this is a private space. And I didn't say anything at the time. I understand that sentiment, but it isn't just OUP North. It's also OUP South. And frankly, OUP South, which the city's a part of and a paying member of, gets to use the parking lot. And when you get down to the HOA documents, which we've got into the weeds before on this, really 3/4 of the parking lot is to be used for commercial space. Not that little corner, but my point there is I don't think that it's a huge imposition, even if there were four parking stalls there. I'm not sure that parking area will even happen. It was rejected. But that generated probably the most comments. Generally, people thought that it was a good idea. I think they heard a bunch about it and welcomed the opportunity to see some of the slides. It was generally well received.
Yeah, I appreciate you letting me speak. And it did also turn into, I brought up, when it came to the funding, I also brought up that we're going to have a big expensive streetscape project, which then prompted people to reach out to me about that. And so I've been fielding, and I appreciate Ryan helping with getting me to where I can get some information to respond to some of those questions, but kind of the same kind of street lights and, you know, where we're at on that, you know, what's it going to do to my taxes and, you know, those sorts of questions. So I know that's part of Ryan's report, but I think it's just important to keep talking about those things and communicating it to the residents, because, you know, that just seems to still be an ongoing discussion.
And that was one of the additional things, one of the additional questions or comments was, how is this going to be paid for? Is this going to increase my taxes? And that was on the trails development itself, timeline, when might this start? Really what I took away from it, Nick and council, was they were happy to receive the information. They had some questions. Again, they generally thought it was a good idea, but some of them were still processing it because they hadn't heard of it in any detail before. Some wanted it to be more expansive and some wanted it to maybe be less in their backyard, which I think is a good thing. It means that what is being proposed is actually kind of somewhere in the middle as opposed to one of the extremes. You know, not all the opinions were one way or another. So, like I said, I think it was generally positive as far as the response. And it was just more questions, follow-up questions, than concerns.
That's great.
Thanks.
And it's great that Nick did that too with everyone.
All
thank
right.
You.
Thank you, Mayor.
Is that everything? Thank you.
It is not everything, but I hope
not. See how valuable it is to have a city administrator. Anybody can be mayor.
I think you wear all the hands.
That's like wonderful. Thank you so much. I mean that as a compliment. And so we'll go down to this Mike Haberkamp's report, clerk report.
Other than what I sent along, just to let you know, those of you that didn't pick it up already, your certificate of election, chapter 21, chapter 22, were at your place today. Just like we had our swearing in for Mackenzie tonight, you will all need to be sworn in at our January meeting. I left the piece that the county sent that you have to fill out with that and have it notarized, but either the chief or attorney Ballard will be here that night and we'll get those all taken care of. on January 13th, which is our next council meeting, which is as late as it can possibly be in January. So being the second Tuesday. So
any questions for Mike? Thank you, Mike. Yeah. We'll go on to the treasurer's report, and you circulated the warrants today in an email.
I did. I don't have anything to add to the warrants. I just like to add to Troy and Mike's piece that the city examination is being moved from the 16th to the 17th.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. That just happened today.
Okay. So.
Okay.
Sorry, boss.
John set the appointment for the 16th, now for the 17th or 18th. I'm not available date. They've given us a general list of items. We don't have the detail list, but as soon as I get the detail list, because one of the favorite things that I like to go after is credit card purchases, and they have to have the receipts and all that. That's all I have.
With that, the warrants, are there any additions or corrections to the warrants?
Did you get McKinsey to sign off?
Okay. Hearing none, the warrants will be paid by unanimous consent. And are you going to talk about the audit a little bit? I know it was in a report.
But that was it, pretty much.
Right. Yeah. Well, the audit was technically, it's not an audit. It's called an examination. You know, there's different levels of assurance. So it's kind of like an exam. It's not like an audit, which could be like an MRI type process. So they take samples. You know, they'll give them a whole QuickBooks file, a whole bunch of data. And what they do is they do some sampling. I'm like, oh, this pay period. Okay, let's see the timesheets. This period, let's look at.
I see.
These credit card purchases. So it's kind of a sampling. You know, it's an exam. It's not an audit. An audit is where, you know, you get three Hail Marys and you're blessed. It's not one of those.
Yeah. Well, we'll get the report. Right. Thank you. Thank you for explaining that. And is there anything else for John? Well, you and Steve Cool will be very busy coming up here. And thank you for that. We'll go on to committee reports. And under finance, we have consideration of Resolution 2540, and this is the housekeeping one about transferring funds.
I would just make a motion to pass Resolution Number 2540.
Okay, motion by Nick. Is there a second? Second by Lisa. Any discussion? Okay, Mike, roll call.
Herbold.
Aye.
Moore.
Aye.
Schroeder.
Aye.
Swales.
Aye.
Dwyer.
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you. Anything else, Nick?
Well, I just want to make sure. Did we pay the bills? I don't remember if we did. Okay.
Yeah, we did. We did the warrant by
just making sure we got that. All right, thank you.
I snuck it in there. Thank you, Nick. I don't always remember. We'll go to community protection and the chief wrote a written report. Thanks, chief.
Welcome, officially. I don't have a lot to add to the report. We've made it through the football season with very few problems. Sergeant Tucker, at the end of this last month, stepped away and is going to a part-time position, as Troy said. He'll be sorely missed. He's got a fountain of information, but we will work our way through that. And beyond that, there's not a lot for me to. It's been a pretty uneventful month other than Sergeant Tucker. So, questions?
I just appreciate he seemed to be super available and ready to help people in a lot of different capacities. So I hope that's communicated to him. I'm sure he hears that. And
yep. Yeah, I have visited with him on a somewhat regular basis. And yes, I absolutely agree with you that he's just a good human being. And he knows what we think of him. So that's the biggest thing. And I welcome him back, but I also understand his decision.
Yes, real quick question. Is the monitoring fire hydrants and digging them out like back when Brian came up?
I happen to notice one today that had not been dug out, but yes, we had had a discussion with our that time.
More of a reminder, I guess, more than anything.
We will address the ones off and get a list tomorrow. And actually, I've got somebody working at night, but something to keep yourself hours in the morning.
Tell me, pay $10 a fire hydrant.
Yeah, well, it's 41 and.
Yeah, in the rain and the snow and 40 mile an hour winds tonight. Yeah, I'm so good. So, but no, we will, they have been reminded, and if they are remiss, I will proceed to remind them again.
Chris, I'll see if I can find it. I have a map of the fire hydrants. I think I have Brian, actually. I'm not sure.
It's on the website. It is.
You know, I kind of like it. It's kind of a hide and go seek game. And there's one that's a very difficult to find at times. So, you tell me how well they've done. Anything else?
Thank you. Thank you, Chief. And I'm sure, Mackenzie, you'll be meeting with the Chief here in the next few weeks.
We briefly chatted.
Yeah, a little bit.
But yeah.
Yeah, that's great. So we'll go to streets and sidewalks, and
just
Ryan, you had a resolution that was in the billing.
Yeah, right. So I found out this morning from Mike that my report got hung up in the spam folder, I guess. So I apologize if nobody, it sounds like Lisa didn't receive it till just now. So apologize for that. If there was anybody didn't receive it, but the Highland Drive and Ridgeview Avenue improvements project, we've gone through a punch list and everything is completed. We've got received the bonds. I've sent that on to City of Iowa City because there's a 2-year maintenance bond for the sanitary sewer items, which I'll speak with Iowa City in the next month after we close the project out for reimbursement of the sanitary sewer work under the understanding agreement. And then
should we go ahead with resolution 2539?
So for tonight's meeting, I have a resolution number 2539 to accept the project as complete and authorize payment or retainage. So this would release the retainage funds and finalize payment to the contractor. So that's before council's tonight.
Right.
I'll make the
motion. You made a motion.
I'll second.
Second by Tim. Okay, very good. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Moore.
Aye.
Schroeder.
Aye.
Swales.
Aye.
Dwyer.
Aye.
Herbold.
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you.
I received your report. So I didn't, I guess.
I didn't have a lot to like talk through in depth tonight. The seeding and backfill work on Cozier didn't actually occur before the snowfall. It doesn't really look like, based off the forecast, this snow is necessarily, so they might have to wait to do that till springtime, or if they get availability, if we do get a warm up, they'll do that work. The RRFBs were sent out, the plans were sent out for quotations to 4 different electrical contractors for the signs at Sunset and Oakcrest Avenue for the push button beacons. And sidewalk inspection program will kind of wrap up our list and then get that project ready to send out for bids here in the next month or so. So
congrats on your new family member.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Thanks. I was gone a couple weeks last month for, we had a new baby. So
oh, wow. Congratulations.
I was gone leading up to Thanksgiving, and so not very eventful or productive.
Eventful, but not productive.
It was productive and
I don't know if anybody has any other questions on any of those items. Melrose stuff, the design team's looking at a list of items from Paul Moore, trying to see what they can work through in regards to the parking lot. And some other comments from Paul. I need to get back with, go through the list with the private utilities. I need to reach out to the city attorney's office to see where we're standing with our easement and right-of-way acquisition process. And then also, what's the other thing? Now I'm kind of blanking on it, but I need to get back in touch with the mayor and Doug and Troy and on some of our design decisions, like Nick said, on the lighting and the retaining wall blocks and aesthetic items like that, so we can kind of proceed and finalize some of those decisions. So those are kind of needed for us to get all the final plan sheets made up. So that's really all I had.
Any questions? Thanks, Ryan, for working during all that busy time you had. Appreciate it. Doug, do you have anything to add?
No.
Okay, very good. We'll go on to building, zoning, and sanitation. Do you have anything, Tim?
No, nothing to report. There is an event, though, through Think Iowa City. The Ukraine women's wrestling team is going to be at the arena on the 18th. And now I can go because I don't have to do that four-hour class. but if you bring a can of food, you can get in, and it should be pretty interesting.
Awesome. Women's wrestling, and preceding it is the Iowa West High female wrestlers are going to wrestle the Iowa City High female wrestlers. So it's kind of a neat event. Again, it is free, as Tim said. Obviously, they're asking that you bring a non-perishable food item.
Time does that start?
I believe 5:00. The high schoolers start to wrestle 5, 6, and I can tell you exactly.
Took a picture of it.
So did I.
There's like, yeah, and then the big one is at 7, I believe.
Yes. So yeah, save the date, Thursday, December 18th, Extreme Arena. At 5 p.m., CR Washington against Iowa City High. 6 p.m., Iowa City West versus Iowa City High. At 7 p.m., Team USA versus Team Ukraine. Again, women's wrestling dual meet. Admission, one non-perishable food item to be donated to the Coralville Community Food Pantry.
Mm-hmm. You don't think of me while I'm picturing it.
The day after I said.
Got it.
I've heard wonderful things about women's wrestling. I have yet to go to one, but I hear it's, you know, people tell me it's fabulous.
As long as Tim brought it up, the women's Ukraine team, they're in town for 2 weeks preceding this, and they are staying down at Courtyard by Marriott right now.
Just like the Canadian women's team stayed for 3 weeks earlier this fall. So
they're loving it by all
accounts. And we're getting hotel mode. Not that funny from them.
Yeah, I know. It's good. Thank you. Any questions here for Tim? Okay, we'll go on to the e-government report. You circulated a nice report, Lisa.
Okay.
Do you want to add anything or say anything? Okay, very good. Any questions for Lisa? Okay, any announcements anybody wants to make? General announcements? Any objection to adjournment? Hearing none, the meeting's adjourned by unanimous consent. Thanks, everyone. Happy holidays.